Hi there, and welcome to the One Pres Pod, a podcast for First Presbyterian Church in Fort Smith. On this podcast, we talk about all things related to faith and the life of followers of Jesus. Join us.
Welcome back to another edition of the First Presbyterian Pod. My name is Ram Cunningham. This is Ram Ask a Question.
And I'm Tasha Blackburn.
How are you, Tasha?
I am doing well, Ram. I'm excited about a new role you've taken on at our church earlier this semester.
So that's the classic case of Ram saying yes. Ram being on a text chain and going, I can do that. No, it was good.
It's like the seven to ten year old bunch.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
You're a real hit in the 7 to 10 year old demographic.
That's what I hear. Think. They call me the director of fun.
Yeah, and at our church, I think we might have snookered you. I think the official theological term is snookered you, and said, don't you think you'd love to teach Sunday school to 7 to 10 year olds?
There was a bit of arm twisting, but I mean, it was okay. So Sophie was excited. You know, she spent the weekend really trying to prepare me. Like, she was legitimately going, all right, Dad, are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you sure? And I'm like,
you can't embarrass her.
I need to also know, are you somebody I need to be watching?
Yes. Who is my special friend in this room?
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, but they were great. And I get to do it a handful of times this year. So I'm excited about it.
Well, you have joined a league, and some of our listeners probably have been in this club. I mean, once you teach children's Sunday school, I mean, there is a special club. I'll teach you the handshake later.
Do you have a green jacket?
Exactly. I'll get you the green jacket. And it is a very special club, and we all remember it.
Well, I will say that teaching my first Sunday school class, it did bring up a number of questions.
Who am I? Why am I here?
What has happened? No, but it did make me think of one thing, and this is something that I struggle with just as a sober person, as I'm over 3 years now of being alcohol free, and so it's very similar to this, but it kind of gets down to, does God want us to take care of ourselves to make sure that we're good, that we're safe, that we're walking with Him as we should? Before we teach Sunday school, before I talk to that person that's struggling with drinking, before I try to help, you know, I guess I could just go back and think all the things that we do at First Pres. Of course, I'm still going to help with First Sunday Supper and all the things that we do. Just because I'm not perfect, I'm still going to help with that. But when it comes to the life of another, well, I guess it all affects life. But either way, it just makes me wonder, you know, we're never going to be on our A game always, but does God prefer, or does that what He wants us to take care of first before we go take care of others?
You know, it's interesting because I want you to picture for a minute, and our listeners can picture too, like you're at your church and it's communion day and some servers come forward to, you know, help serve communion, right? And if you picture it, the servers come forward, they hold, like, say, the basket of bread, and you know what happens next. Everybody comes forward, right? Or they go pass it, right? But they get fed first. And then when do the servers get fed?
At the end.
At the end. And so it's very interesting because I grew up in a church where the pastor, for exactly the reason you're talking about today, your question, he flipped it. And in my church growing up, when it was time for communion day, right, he would do all the words at the table and everything, and then the servers would come forward, and he'd feed them first. And he'd feed himself. You know, they'd feed him.
Before the congregation.
And then they would turn around, and they would serve the congregation. Isn't that interesting? And when people asked him about it, he talked about this exact thing. He's like, we have to be fed so that we can then feed. Like, not literally, like they hadn't had breakfast, right?
Sure, sure.
But to have that image and that, like, living out in a tangible way what you're talking about there, of like, I can't, how am I supposed to feed you? How am I supposed to be a help here if I'm starving? And so
other churches do that?
I've never seen it at another church, and they don't even do it anymore, right? Because that pastor retired and whatever. And I've thought about it over the years of like, should we do that? And should we kind of have that teaching of like, it's not selfish, right? To know that you need to be fed if you're then going to go serve. But you know, I have never flipped it, and I've never flipped it because we have that default of we're kind of supposed to serve till it hurts.
Right.
Right. We can have that kind of in the Christian culture of
how
like,
much more
it
strong
needs to hurt, right?
Yeah. But I mean, wouldn't we be more effective? We'd be stronger. We'd be if we.
Yeah. It's not wrong.
Yeah.
It's not wrong.
I would love to know what our listeners think about that. That
I know
opinion.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's
interesting.
But I don't know. I mean, I struggle with your question, even what, you know, it's why you have the question, right? Because like you implied, if we wait around until we're fully whole and fully healed, until we do a ding-dong thing, well, guess how many things are happening?
Nothing.
You know, right?
Well,
so,
I
like,
think
you
that's
can't
kinda,
wait forever.
It's like I kind of answered my own question when I said I'm still going to participate in First Sunday Supper. I'm still, even
but on
though
the
I'm
other
not
hand,
perfect.
But
know?
On the other hand, if you're, I mean, picture somebody out there flailing and drowning, right? And you hear about this stuff all the time. Somebody tries to go out and save them. If they're flailing enough, they're going to take you down with them. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't want to be that guy either. Mm-hmm. Where you're like, I'm so,
yeah,
I'm so sick right now that I'd like to take you down with me in my helping. Mm-hmm. You know,
right.
I shouldn't be helping. I should be focusing on feeding, getting myself fed.
It's almost like I look at like getting into like a Bible battle. I don't really know what they're called, but like Bible battle, for lack of a better phrase.
I'm pretty sure it's Bible battle. I don't even know what you're going to describe.
But I mean, it's when someone wants to kind of question, you know, verses, and they really want to get into it with you. I'm not comfortable doing that because I'm not, you know, well versed enough to like know this part of Paul to say
Leviticus 12
exactly. You know, and so I always worry about things like that. But then it just kind of gets down to, man, I sure would be a better Sunday school teacher if I was a little better at this part of my Christian walk, you know. Or I don't know. I know that I could never be exactly where God wanted me to be before I was able to then help at the church.
Yeah.
But I'll also feel like that's a perfect example of the whole communion in reverse. That, man, if we just did that, my whole question would be answered. Be good.
Yeah.
But I mean, just,
but on the, yeah, I know.
I'm very focused on me right now as a sober person. It's very, it's very me driven. Like as far as, I hate to say it, but I'm a little selfish in terms of like, hey, I'm really going to make sure that today me are not going to stop and go get a drink. You know, that's.
Well, when you are holding you together, there's a lot of navel gazing as a part of that. There just has to be, right? Because you got to stay whole.
Yeah.
You know, I would say it's very interesting. If you read through the Gospels, I think what we sometimes forget is we think about Jesus teaching and we think about him healing and we think about him preaching and all this stuff, right? And ticking off the religious leaders or whatever. But if you go through there, there's a ton of times where it says, and he withdrew from the group and went off to pray. He got up early and left the crowd, like, and went up to a mountain to pray. He has got to be fed too. And like, that's the, you know, ha 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 thing they love to say to pastors, but it's not a joke. Is like, if Jesus needed it and you don't think you do, like, who are you? Mm-hmm. Like, you've decided you can just give and give and give and you don't need to at all take a minute. No, obviously you do. I think there's a difference between I don't have it all together yet, do I have anything to offer? And the other option of I am absolutely depleted and there's nothing left, but I guess I should just keep going, right? Mm-hmm. Like, one's out of some brokenness and some stuff that makes you you, right? And the other's just out of exhaustion of all levels. And one of my favorite writers, Henry Nouwen, he had a book famously called The Wounded Healer. And he talked about how we could actually serve others in our broken places. Like, wherever it is we broke, like, think about this in terms of sobriety, right? He would say, he would look at you and be like, yep, because wherever it is you broke, that's now your strongest place. Mm-hmm. That had to heal and bind itself back. And so that's actually where you can meet other people the best. Mm-hmm. So to sit around and go, oh, but I broke there, I don't think I should help.
Oh, no, I will say.
Right? He would say, take that broken place.
And I'm seeing that now.
Superhero power. Well,
that's exactly
right?
What I'm seeing. And that's funny that you said it that way, because probably the past year, because, you know, I'm over 3 years now, but the past year, that's become apparent that where I was broken the worst, like the darkest, lowest I ever was, that's where I'm the most solid. And I actually did meet someone that was in a very similar spot as that. And it was really honestly breathtaking that I was able to communicate so well with that person, because I just knew how that part,
you know how it
I
feels.
Know how that little part felt.
I know how that feels,
yeah,
right?
It was cool.
I apologize, because I can't remember if it was Henry Nouwen who said this as well, but I think it was. I mean, he also talked about how it's in the broken places, like, where do you think the light gets in? Mm-hmm. Right? It's where we broke.
Yep.
That God can get in there and do some work. So the idea that, so that's where I would kind of want to separate out the two, like, do I have anything to offer? I'm imperfect. The answer is absolutely, yeah, you betcha.
Mm-hmm.
Who is it? Oh, yeah.
Betcha.
Who was the candidate? Oh, yeah. I just thought of her. From Wasilla, Alaska. Anyway, you betcha, Sarah Palin. You betcha, Sarah Palin. Anyway, that's a throwback.
Yeah,
vintage
is.
For all of us, but in this election season.
Yeah.
But, you know, you betcha. And not only do you have something to offer, but you probably, where God needs you to offer it, is in all those places that got broken.
That got broken, yeah.
Because, I mean, you can talk to somebody about sobriety in a way that I can't,
mm-hmm.
right? But I can talk to them about whatever, what it is to be a middle-aged female, which, by the way, I now have a lot to say about this in recent months. But anyway, in a way you can't,
mm-hmm.
Hopefully. But the other side of it, of the, you know, does God want me to help if I just feel like I have nothing,
mm-hmm.
like I'm just so depleted, then that one probably is a no.
I mean,
like,
maybe at that point,
time.
Does he want you to maybe ask for help? I mean,
yeah.
I guess at some point, yeah, there's one of the
you
others.
You know, I have people all the time, they'll say, I had somebody last week, they said they've come to church once in like 30 years, by the way. Like,
wow.
They were back at church after like 30 years. And they said they cried in the service. Made them cry. And the person said, I really want to come back. I don't know. We'll see if I can come back. I just don't know if I can do that yet. It just makes me cry. And I can't pray. That's what this person said. And what I said to them was, if you can't come into church and cry, like, come to church and cry then.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you obviously need to cry. And the second thing is, don't pray then. Like, where else in our world can you go where you might hear somebody else pray? And where else in our world can you go where you'd hear somebody else sing a song to God, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's precisely when you are absolutely depleted. Don't go out and try to help somebody else right then, please.
Right,
like you're done for, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're just going to be even thirstier,
mm-hmm.
And even more like laying on the floor of the, you know, the room.
Right.
But try to go somewhere and let somebody sing for you.
Mm-hmm.
Let somebody pray near you. Let
you. But on the flip side of that, you also, you don't have to be on your A game. You don't have to
You
know, you don't have to be kind of at your, what you,
Ram.
I don't even know what my peak level would be.
I was
going to
say,
but
Ram, some of us are so thrilled with a C-plus game.
You're right. I was a C-plus college student.
I'm like, C-plus game.
If I would have stuck out nursing,
winning,
I would have been a C. I would have been actually C-. I would have been a C-minus nurse. But I would have been a C nurse.
And I was going to say, and you know what that makes you? A nurse.
A nurse,
so,
exactly. So I don't
know.
Exactly.
The idea that we really are, like, we love American exceptionalism. Like, we love exceptional things, and we love to think about being the best, and I work the hardest, and all this stuff, right? I mean, don't let great get in the way of the good,
mm-hmm.
right? You may not be at your A game, but there is something you can offer. And there's something you can offer that's particular to you. There really is.
Mm-hmm.
And it might actually be, like, wherever that spot that's tender to the touch, even mm-hmm. like it's a little tender, don't touch that one. That might be exactly where that's what you offer.
Well, this will be another podcast for another day, or another blog for another day, but it's, you know, I'm so critical of myself. I think what happens with me is I start questioning, ooh, you could be a little better. Ooh, that could be a little better. And then you could, you know, in other words, I want to make myself better so that I am a better teacher, better father, better. But if you get caught into that, you never stop.
Yeah.
And nothing's ever good enough. So.
Yeah.
But again, that's another podcast. But,
and we get perfectionist. And, and some of that, there's two sides to that coin. There's really great things about being perfectionist, by the way.
Oh, right? Sure.
Like our bosses like us. And it goes well until it doesn't.
Yeah.
That whole thing, right? But there are pros and cons. You know, I would tell you, like, just to even loop it back to the whole Sunday school thing, right? And I think it's a Maya Angelou quote, right? That she said, people won't remember what you said to them. They'll remember how you made them feel. Mm-hmm. And to me, not only is that Sunday school, ages 7 to 10, mm-hmm. But that's life, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess my follow-up question would be, what would I even define as my A game? Because is my A game that I got all the tasks done today? Or is my A game that I made some people feel a certain way? Mm-hmm. Right? Because that's what they're going to remember. And I think sometimes, I know just speaking for myself, I got the wrong definition of A game, even.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, maybe the thing I want to be focusing on is when you say, like, teacher, father.
Right.
Employee, you know, or whatever. It's like, how did I make my kid feel today?
Mm-hmm.
How'd I make everybody who walked into the mill feel today?
I wish I could do that without words. If I could do that without using words.
Okay. Tyra Banks has the answer for you.
Okay.
You smile with your eyes.
Okay.
It's an old modeling tip. You like how I act like I know and I'm an insider? I watched a lot of Tyra Banks in my life.
I like smiles,
and you smile. You smile with your eyes, and there you're halfway there.
See, it's just it's keeping this closed. It's keeping this part
mouth closed, eyes glistening. Exactly.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Tasha. We'll be back again with another Ram Ask a Question. It's a One Prez Pod.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to the One Prez Pod. Be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast wherever you found it, and go to onepres.org for more information about First Presbyterian Church. Until next time, peace.